School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
All right, what's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name's Justin Deering. I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications, and today's conversation is about something that I'm very passionate about, podcasting. The last time we talked about podcasting in schools was right before March 2020, and I think we all know what happened then. Things have changed a little bit, and more districts are starting to jump into the deep end of podcasting and storytelling through audio format, and today's guest, Mitch Rausch, is the perfect person to talk to about this, as he is launching a podcast in his district, and he's just a good guy, and it was a fun conversation. So I hope you enjoy today's conversation about podcasting in schools, and we appreciate you being here.
Hello, this is Dr. Jill from Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, reporting, and archiving easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact Jill at classintercom.com or visit classintercom.com.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to School PR Happy Hour. I'm excited to have a conversation today about one of my favorite topics. We have not talked about this topic since before the pandemic, so I think things have changed a little bit. We are going to talk about podcasting in schools and what that looks like for storytelling and for different areas on, you know, getting the information out to your clients and to your people out there in your community. Today we've got Mitch Rausch with us from Grand Island Public Schools. Mitch, how's it going? Thanks for joining me today and talking about one of my favorite things, podcasting.
Happy Monday, Justin. We're bringing the energy first thing in the week. We're making it happen.
Yeah, it is Monday morning. I was telling him in the pre-show, it's spring break for my wife and kid, and we found out they cut a water main right outside of our house this morning, so we are rolling on Ozarka bottled water coffee this morning. So it's a energy's here for sure. Let's just see how long it takes to get some real water into this house. So
it's going to be a memorable spring break for you.
Yes, that much
is certain.
Yeah, we are. We're excited because our, you know, first day of spring break, it's 10:02 here in Dallas when we're recording this. My daughter's still in bed. She doesn't sleep past 7, but she heard the rumor that if she got up, there was a lot of cleaning to do. So I think she's just staying in bed all day. So
rock,
we're going to enjoy that.
Parenting hack.
Yeah. So Mitch, why don't you go ahead and start off like we do with every guest. Talk to me a little bit about how you got into school PR, into the position you're at. Tell me a little bit about your district, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me on. This is legit. Super excited to hang out with you, even if it is virtually. So thank you. how did I get into school PR? So I've been at my district for a little over a year and a half. I am at Grand Island Public Schools in Nebraska, good old NEB. I've been here for a year and a half. Grand Island Public Schools is, I think we're the sixth largest school district in our state, fourth most diverse. We're pretty big. Also, I believe we have one of the largest high schools in the state. And we're the only, what makes us interesting is we're the only school district our size or bigger in the state of Nebraska that only has one high school. So we've got some interesting stuff going on, which is pretty great. Got 19 schools, 14 elementaries, 3 elementary schools, and we do the academies model at our high school. So that's kind of a little bit of background for us out here. How I got this gig, it's wild, man. I come from the private marketing sector. I did B2B marketing and strategy for a long, long time, and the school district was looking to expand its communications team. They had a one-person shop for a really long time, and then that person moved on for some exciting professional opportunities. And so they were, they had brought on a coordinator for not long earlier before that person had left. And so they were kind of swimming with one person and really wanted to grow a little bit. So they reached out to me, asked if I'd be interested in the gig. I was like, oh man, I don't know. I'm kind of happy where I'm at. And then they got me on a call with our superintendent and the chief of the department and completely changed my mind. Talked about all the cool stuff going on in the school district, the diversity richness here, the equity work and the storytelling opportunities. And I was like, well, I could do that. I want to be a part of that. So I've been here for a year and a half. It's been absolutely awesome. We've grown our team to 3 full-time folks and we're just showing up every day, making cool stuff to share teacher and student stories.
That's awesome. So yeah, that my background, I was a teacher first and then I moved into communications. But, you know, as a film teacher, I was a videographer or video and radio teacher. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to teach like 35 to 50 kids a semester on how to tell a story.
That's
and then
awesome.
I'd help them tell their story. Mm-hmm. And then the offer came, hey, come into communications and tell everybody's story. And I've been doing that since I was 14 or 15 in a class in high school. The class I taught was the class I took at the same school. I took over for my teacher. So it was like a real cool thing. But I think that's the area of school PR where people, you know, everybody talks about storytelling. It's becoming a buzzword that some people are right. Like, oh, storytelling again. But it is the core of what we do. And I don't want to go any further without mentioning congratulations on being named as one of INSPIR's 35 under 35. That's a huge accomplishment. That's a big deal. It puts you on the map that people recognize you're doing important work. And it's really cool because it is, you're nominated by your peers. It's not that INSPIR sitting in an office, like, you know, scratching their chin going, who is not old and doing good work. They're sitting there and they're listening to peers and people who see what you're doing. So congratulations on that. And just, I mean, it's awesome that I like I said, I was 35 under 35 a couple years ago, back before I was not old. I'm 40 now. So congratulations. And what does it mean for you to be, you know, recognized in this by your peers, by the people who nominated you, that recognize the good work you've been doing in the year and a half you've been with the district?
Yeah. I mean, thank you for the nice words. That's really kind. Man, it's kind of bonkers. Like, I mean, it's really great. I mean, just like kind of on a smaller level to be listed next to all those other school PR rock stars is kind of a big deal. Like that's just, wow. But like on a larger deal to me, I don't know, like maybe it's cliche to say, but I believe it. Like for me, this is a team honor. Like this is indicative of the work that our team is doing. I'm incredibly grateful to get to be at a district that values communication, that values storytelling, and supports us every step of the way and gives us as many opportunities as we have to be able to step into the classroom and connect with principals and teachers and students. And so like I know this doesn't make us unique, but our community never gets tired of getting to see the cool things that our students are up to. And the fact that I get to show up to work every day and get to be a part of spotlighting that and sharing the microphone, like that's, I tell people all the time, I got the best job in the world. Like that's just legit. So I'm supported, I'm surrounded by amazing people, and I get to do cool stuff. So I guess it's cool that other people are noticing the stuff that we're doing. That means a lot. But it's a shout out to our team is what it is.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on that. And we're going to go ahead. We'll get into today's topic. I mean, if you're listening in your car or on your walk or whatever you're doing, you can obviously tell Mitch has a podcast voice. He's got the voice down. So
I've got a face for radio.
Hey, that's what my dad told me. And that's why, you know, my dad was like, Justin, you're going to be a great radio personality because you look the part. So talk to me a little bit about your experience in podcasting and why you're so excited about it. It's part of your questionnaire from 35 under 35, but I saw that you have a district podcast going. You had some swag that you'd made that you posted about. So talk to me about your experience and what got you to, you know, launching a district podcast, and we'll just see where the conversation goes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and this isn't an original thought, but podcasting's the new blogging. It just is. And that's not a negative thing. I just think, you know, when you're looking at the early to mid 2000s, when Blogger got really huge and stuff like that, I think that's kind of where we're at with podcasting. And I just kind of became a nerd for it. You know, I'd say maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, I've been a part of some other successful podcasts. I had a fun one just for fun for me and one of my buddies called the Watching Comics Podcast that we had for about 4 years and built a pretty big following. And it just was something that my buddy who lived 2 hours away, we wanted to do something together. And then we just kind of fell into this large thing that was really fun and had a lot of people listening, which was pretty cool. And along that way, I also got to be a part of launching a couple of other corporate podcasts. The town I used to live in, their county development corporation, I helped them launch their podcast. I also helped produce a podcast for a agriculture agency as well too. So I've got a lot of that experience, taught a professional development class about it before at a community college, that sort of thing. So it's just something I've been interested in. So when I got to GIPS, I was able to see they had talked about it quite a bit, but it was more of that concept of should we be doing a podcast or shouldn't we? And because, you know, we're a forward-thinking school district. We're one of the largest ones in the state. We want to be sure that we're taking advantage of storytelling opportunities. But as you know, Justin, right, and as I'm sure our listeners know, that you don't just want to do it to do it. I always think of, like, if it's got to pass the mom test, my mom all the time growing up told me, said, Mitch, just because you can doesn't mean you should. So my big question was, is they're like, we see you can do podcasting. Is that something we want to do? And really, I just kind of asked the mom question. I said, just because we can doesn't mean we should. What's our why? What are we doing here? And so I would say a big chunk of the first year I was here, I just kept telling them, no, we're not ready yet, because we didn't have a good why. And if we are going to do it, we want to make sure we're doing it right. And we want to make sure that it's beneficial for whoever our listeners are going to be to learn more about the school district. So I worked with some of our district administrators, a couple board members, brainstormed some ideas, talked to some building leaders, and talked to my team. And what we landed on is we thought this might be a good opportunity to share long-form storytelling of what does the classroom experience look like from a teacher perspective and from a student perspective, because that's one thing we hear from our parent stakeholder groups and what we hear at our board meetings and stuff like that, right? Which is, media hits are really great on the news. They're only 2.5 minutes long. The videos we produce in-house are great, but they're typically no longer than 5 minutes long. And if you want to go long form, does somebody want to listen to something for 20 minutes or read something for 20 minutes? And so we kind of built things around that, this concept of what does it look like to be in a classroom at Grand Island Public Schools and really take advantage of that long form storytelling to maybe really unpack some of the more complicated, nuanced sort of things that can go on in a classroom, curriculum work, that sort of thing. And we found that, I don't know, we think that a 15 to 20 minute conversation is a great avenue for that.
Well, I want to go back to something you've said very at the beginning, the mom test. I think that is a great way of looking at just about everything we do.
Right. Yeah. It's like an evergreen marketing nugget.
Yeah. Can we do it? Absolutely. Should we do it? That's a great question. Like, can I? Yeah. So we talked in the pre-show about my former boss and now colleague, Julie Thanum, in her last episode. Thank you for hosting last time, Julie, if you're listening to this, I appreciate that. But we always had Justin would come up with this idea. Let's do this. And Julie, straight face, would not show whether she thought it was a good idea or a bad idea. She would just go, does it align with the strategic plan?
Yep.
And then if you could say yes, you'd say, go have fun, do what you need to do. But if you can't find where it lines up in that plan, then we don't need to be laying, because that's our groundwork. That's our roadmap. Absolutely. If everything lines up right there in that strategic plan, then go run and have fun. But if we can't find a spot that benefits the strategic plan and the district, the way the district's moving, we don't need to spend a ton of our time on it. So I love the, and it's just the mom test. It's exactly right. I hadn't heard it that way. That's exactly, yeah, you sure can do that, but I don't know if you should. So
exactly. With podcasting too, and with so many other things, but especially with podcasting, it's like that sneaky time suck, right? Like, podcasting is really cool. A lot of it is really easy, but man, that time commitment builds up really, really fast. And if you're not going to be completely sold on what's your why, how does this apply to your strategic plan, all that stuff, it's like, you're just going to be spending a lot of time on something that may sound cool, but it may not be as effective as you want it to be.
Exactly. And that's why I believe that, like, when we've had a couple district podcasts in my past life, and we use those as pillar content. And I've talked about pillar content. It's the Gary Vee model multiple times, how you've got this one major thing, how you can branch off to 30 different posts or different types of content for it. So I've always used, if we're going to have a district podcast, it's also going to turn into a written article. It's going to turn into quote cards. It's going to turn into social posts. We're going to get some legs out of this one 15-minute conversation.
Yep.
And it's important because you do. If you are a podcast producer, you get into a rhythm where, yeah, I can knock out a school PR happy hour in about an hour and a half, but that's an hour and a half I'm not spending somewhere else.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I better be able to use it elsewhere. Like it better have some legs, because an hour and a half of our time in a 40-hour week that we work 80 hours is really tough to figure out, okay, what can I move for an hour and a half? So what's the benefit? So I think that the approach y'all are doing of telling the story in the classroom, that's unique. A lot of district podcasts you're seeing are superintendent update. Tell me what's going on in the district. We got a board election coming up. We got a bond election coming up. Baseball made the playoffs, like that kind of stuff. But this is a different look of, hey, we're going to talk to students. We're going to talk to teachers. What's it like 15, 20 minutes? What's it like in this classroom? So what results have you seen and what feedback have you heard from your community based on that model that y'all are doing so far?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? Now, I will say, obviously, our podcast is still young. We launched it in October of 2022, and we do 2 episodes a month for now. We'll see how this thing grows. The good news is the listenership is growing, which is really, really cool. But in terms of results so far, what I've heard, because I spend a lot of time with our stakeholder groups, so what I've heard from staff and what I've heard from parents is that they really appreciate being able to hear, you know, why we do what we do and the methodology of how we do it a little bit deeper, and to also get connected to some folks in a little bit of a deeper level, right? Like one of the series that we're almost done doing that we've been doing for a little while is we have curriculum coordinators in our school district, and they help provide guidance to all of our academic coaches throughout the school district and stuff like that, right? Well, especially to a parent who really only gets to experience what life is like in their one particular building, that can seem like a complicated kind of branch. And that whole word curriculum gets thrown around a lot, but no one really knows what it means, you know? So what we did was we were taking one of our curriculum coordinators and pairing them up with either a teacher or a coach with their main area of focus, and sitting down with both of them and saying, okay, what does curriculum look like for a teacher? And what does that experience look like for a student and a parent? And those have been going over really well. And our listenership has actually been growing with those episodes, because I think our families, especially, that's the bulk of our listeners. We've got some community folks and some business leaders that listen, but the bulk of our listeners are families. And I think they're really appreciating, you know, being able to peek under the hood a little bit and say, like, this is why we use this curriculum. This is what it looks like for your student to be going through this experience. This is what cohort data means. This is how this applies to state standards. This is how it applies to our strategic plan. But we're doing it all through those humanized voices of a teacher who's teaching this and a coordinator who's planning this. And it's going over really well with our families.
Hey friends, in most districts across the country, it's officially spring break time. And if you aren't already thinking and planning how to recognize your staff at the end of the year, now's the time. My name is Olivia Doden, and I am a coordinator of communications for CISO Communications, currently working in Brooklyn Center Community Schools in Minnesota. Every year, we see the Teacher of the Year announcements and large-scale events recognizing the best of the best in the district. But how can a district take that to the next level? Involve the students. Have students write letters to their favorite teacher or staff members that has had an impact on them. Catch that interaction on camera. Nothing is more powerful than seeing a teacher realize the impact they are having in real time. You can also run a year-long nomination campaign where students can recognize a staff member going above and beyond and make that recognition a huge deal on social media. Teachers and district staff are in this business to make a positive impact on kids, and they are doing that every day. There's no better way to show teachers that they are appreciated than to hear it directly from their students. At CISO, we partner with districts to strategically approach their communications. If your district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. Visit thecso.com and connect with us. You can also follow us on our social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
being in districts and dealing with, on the communication side, curriculum changes.
Yep.
And those are always so tense at times, and especially in the years we are right now, things are just tense at all times, it feels like sometimes. But having that, you know, personally sitting through meetings and listening to these conversations where it's the head of curriculum up there talking, and they're like, we're changing to this, this, and this. And the parents are like, but why?
Yep.
Putting a human, a human voice on it, putting some empathy with it, showing a teacher using it. I mean, that's a great way to humanize the entire process, but also engage and educate. So mm-hmm. I applaud that. You mentioned in your 35 under 35 talk about the, you know, student voice is a great way. You can get student voice really involved in podcasting. And in my past district, we had a podcast that was usually the superintendent interviewing somebody, a student or a teacher or a curriculum coordinator or a board member for 15, 20 minutes. And then we would hand it over to the students for the last 15 minutes and they could do pretty much whatever they wanted. Like, hey, tell us a story about the chess club, or you just want to do a calendar, whatever. I had some interns and they would come in, and we were seeing the results of that was the students started to share. Oh, I'm on the podcast this week. Bam, put it out. So they're sharing it on Instagram. We're starting to see students start following us. What do you think? Do you think that there is a place for a student ran solo pod, like not solo, but student oriented, student ran, and maybe they interview the superintendent? But what's your thoughts on like a student driven podcast for at the district level?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I'm excited about that possibility. And that's definitely something we've mapped out in our big plan of what we want to try to accomplish with our podcast. We haven't put that together yet, but obviously, you know, we're young in our podcasting life and that's something we want to implement. You know, we've got a couple of mechanisms that I think we could easily, you know, collaborate with. We've got at our high school, we've got a Unity Council, which is a group of student leaders from all walks of life and all racial and socioeconomic diversity representations. And they lead a lot of the equity efforts in their building. And they do a lot of training for different community organizations and awareness work and stuff like that. We actually worked with them last year to kind of help them develop an idea for a podcast they wanted to do. They haven't launched it yet, but like that's one group we could easily work with. We've got student groups at all of our different levels, whether they get elected to like their leadership groups or positive referral students, those sorts of things. We've got a lot of stuff built in that I think that's ripe for the picking for us to be able to kind of do that. I think for us, the biggest thing would be we want to try to be as equitable as we can across the district. So figuring out what does that plan look like for us to be able to say, how do we get kids from our 14 elementary schools featured? How do we get kids from our middle schools featured? Because I do think we've got the bandwidth to be able to do that and say, hey, do you want to interview your principal or do you want to interview the soup? But we also want to make sure that we're giving representation as equal as we can across the board, because everyone wants to get excited about their school being featured on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, in my last district, I keep talking about, we had two high schools, but the one before that was when I worked with Julie. We had one mega high school, you know, 11 other campuses. And we were so, you know, constantly, hey, when's the last time we went to this campus? When's the last time we gave them an opportunity? And we're so strategic about almost had a spreadsheet checklist. Oh, haven't been to that campus in a month. Let's go.
We do. Our team does the same thing where we go through our stuff and we're like, okay, there's this really neat event going on at this building, but we just had media there 3 days ago. So maybe we shouldn't do media at this place, that sort of thing. Like you've got to play that. You want to make sure you're getting everywhere you can and everyone gets some face time because there's a lot to be proud of in every building.
Yeah, we passed a bond election and we sat around and we were like, okay, what? Obviously, there's going to go things that are going to go great in this process, but there's also things like weather that are going to go ahead and just totally throw off our timeline. What's the best way that we can get out there and tell the story of the bond, tell the story about buildings they're building and all these additions we're getting, but also tell it in a way that people will love it, listen to it, learn from it, but not hate on it when bad things happen. So we went and found representatives from every campus, from elementary to high school, and we called them bond builders. We put them in construction shirts and hard hats, put them on video, and they told us, hey, we're getting we had this one kid who researched geothermal cooling.
Yes.
And did a 2-minute video off script of this is what geothermal is, and he gave me graphics to put in the video. But we saw that when the weather hit and there was a delay, we didn't have the superintendent standing there. Hey, we're 4 months behind because it's rained for 3.5 weeks and this place is a mud pit.
Yep.
We had a kid standing there in mud going, hey, it's a little muddy out here. And people thought it was hilarious and we didn't catch quite as much there. And we saw that was like, oh, we need to go further than we're going currently with students and stuff. We need students in everything. So I took my voice off of videos. So when I would go to campuses, I'd find the kid and be like, hey, I need you to read this into my microphone. He would read it and we'd work together. And I had kids voice over as much as I could. So I think
that's money. I mean, cause that's why we're here. Right.
Right.
And also it gets people more excited about hearing from the school district because they're hearing from their kids. And that's why all of us are here. You know, you say that like recently here we did a kind of a mini radio push for some hiring for our nutrition staff workers. And we had one of our first graders do the voiceover for the whole thing. And the whole campaign was, do you want to be a lunchroom hero? And that's a whole lot more effective when you've got a first grader getting excited about people coming to help in the lunchroom than some dude like me saying, do you want to be a lunchroom hero?
Well, the fun part, like for me, it was like my first communications job. They were like, hey, we want to do the hold music was their big thing. Like, hey, the hold music's terrible. We need to have messaging there. And I'm like, great. Let's get some kids to do it.
Yep.
And they're like, whoa. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want my voice to be the one that everybody hears while they're on hold for 30 minutes. Cause they're
it's not going to get listened to either.
So we went out and got a couple elementary kids and we got a high school kid that I had had in class and they did it and it was great. Well, the high school kid's now the voice of all the Marvel trailers.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like he was at the Oscars last night sitting in he's put on Instagram. I met so-and-so. He did Wakanda Forever, all of the trailers for that.
Legit.
So cool. Like, I'm like, that's a story. They need to go back. Hey, remember when y'all were listening to this hold music 8 years ago? Well, listen to it now. Did you pay attention? Because you were listening to somebody famous.
That's when his promo reel started, when he was seven.
Yeah. Mansfield ISD. Great, a great place to live, learn, and teach. So if you are, let's say someone's listening that's, you know, thought about podcasting, wants to do it. Obviously, maybe, you know, their first step is to figure out their why, like we talked about. But what would your first early advice be to someone who maybe is dipping their toe in for it, or maybe they're just going to jump in the deep end and say, hey, we're launching a 2-time-a-month podcast. What advice would you give them starting their first podcast?
Oh, man. So if you, like you said, if you've got the why figured out, you know you're doing it, you know how you're going to do it and everything like that, I would say, I don't know, my two biggest pieces of advice are figure out your formula of how you're going to do it, right? Is it going to be like this? Is it going to be a conversation-based podcast, or is it going to be a pretty highly produced sort of podcast where you provide different sound bites from different pockets of your community, that sort of thing? You've got to figure out your formula for how it's going to be put together so your listeners know what to expect. And then the other thing is just, man, get as many episodes in the can as you can. Understanding that obviously not everything is evergreen, but get episodes in the can because your scheduling is wild and you're going to run out of time. We all know this. If you've got 2, 3, or 4 episodes in the can at any given time, you're going to be able to be ahead of the curve and you're like the process a whole lot better.
As we sit here, when this one's due in less than 46 or 48 hours. Yes, I feel you. But I'm a firm believer in, you know, yes, having them in the can, but also if you're let's say we're launching September 1, we're going to start this in the next school year. On September 1, I want to have 3 episodes lined up, ready to go that day.
Yep.
So it's a back to school, meet the soup. Maybe it's meet one of the new, whatever those topics are, but you launch 3 there because we live in this society that, you know, Ted Lasso comes out in 2 days.
Yeah.
And they're releasing it once a week and everybody's frustrated. Release the whole thing. Let's binge it. We live in this binge society that wants to watch multiple episodes of something. They want to just keep getting it if they love it. Mm-hmm. So giving them, in my opinion, giving them 2 or 3 solid, like great content episodes right off your launch gets people wanting more. And now they've hit subscribe. And when that notification comes that School PR Happy Hour dropped an episode at midnight comes out, you're listening to it. Our analytics on our show, our biggest time is the first 24 hours after we launch when those notifications hit.
Yeah.
We average, absolutely, you know, 300 to 400 hits per episode, but 250 to 300 of them come in the first 24 hours. And then we just
awesome.
Hope That's our social content. Yeah. So I think having, I mean, if Aaron was here, she'd say, I love having 6 episodes in the can at all times. And I'm, you know, lucky to have this one done by the deadline. But I agree. That it makes the process a lot more enjoyable when you know, okay, I can take my time on this as opposed to frantically looking for someone on a Monday when this is due on Wednesday to find somebody to interview so that we stay consistent. Because if you start falling off that consistent schedule, you're going to start losing audience real quick because they're going to say, oh, they're not bringing anything. And because I go through my podcast and look, oh, I haven't heard from them in 2 months. Let's go ahead and unsubscribe.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I mean, you want to talk about another marketing evergreen nugget, right? Like marketing 101 is consistency trumps everything, right? Like that's the way it is. If you're not going to be consistent, doesn't matter how awesome it is.
Right. So, yeah. So we're sitting, like we used to do you said you had a fun podcast. We had a really pointless podcast for a fantasy baseball league that we've been in for over 10 years where we would literally do a weekly recap of the games. So we did a podcast for 10 people and we did an hour a week just because it was a chance for me to hang out with one of my best friends and we'd do this and we'd chat and we'd talk for 4 hours and an hour of it would be baseball.
Yeah.
But we had 12 listeners every week. And then the minute it got busy, Justin's job got busy. Travis, you know, started building his church. We couldn't do it anymore. And they're like, what the heck? That's why we're in this league. We're like, y'all pay $15 a year. And we don't see any of that, by the way. But so it's just being consistent. People recognize it and people will fall off. So I think having them in the can, having consistent posting, and then having a voice that people can like, not everybody wants to hear the superintendent all day.
Yeah.
I think your idea of having teachers, curriculum directors, students, it's brilliant and it changes the voice they hear each time, but it's also a voice they can recognize and see as important. So I think
it's huge. We're kind of are lucky too. You know, I've been here a year and a half. The first like 10 months I worked here, I was commuting from a different town because my oldest daughter was in kindergarten and we didn't want to change her schools in the middle of the year. So we moved to the community in the summertime. So we've got the perfect like method or device of going through everything because I could just sit down with them and be like, hey, I'm a first year parent in the school district. Can you tell me what I can expect from this, this, and this? Or can you tell me what's my daughter doing in class right now? Or what's it going to look like for her when she gets to this point and stuff like that? And that just kicks off the conversation and then everyone's ready to roll.
Yeah. We did the same thing, by the way. We moved my kid after kindergarten to her new school. So I've been there. So I just think like relating with the situation and you being able to, hey, this is just as much for me as it is for anybody listening. And it's not sectioning off your audience because I may be a first year parent with an eighth grader and a first year parent with a kindergartner. Yeah. There's some different things that each of those is going to experience, but it's still new. And what's the school look like? What are your core values? Things like that. So I think it's great that y'all are doing that. We really have enjoyed podcasting in this format for this side of the table. I would love to get back to podcasting in a district where I'm talking to kids, but hearing stories from fellow school PR folks and kind of the different things they're doing from all different topics is great. And we really have enjoyed that, but there's nothing like getting a third grader who you have no clue what they're going to say in front of a microphone and saying, hey, talk to me about school. Man, they could go rogue real quick and it could be a great blooper reel.
Right. But let me tell you about the pizza on Fridays, right?
It's square. it's square pizza. Wild. Who would have thought? So I do want to bring up something I researched. We were talking about this for ITCSO the other day about podcasting. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, numbers skyrocketed. And there was millions upon millions upon millions of new shows. And the average show was only making it about 6 episodes before they called it quits. And now it's starting to level out and numbers are starting to actually come back down on podcast listeners. But if you look at the research, the areas that are picking up is education, business, finance, fitness. Those are the four areas that are growing. So I'm just saying this because there is a narrative out there that podcast is dying off. It's not in this area. It is actually growing huge in education. And like you said, it's the new blogging. It's people go on walks, people driving between cities for work. You shouldn't read while you're driving. So maybe you should listen to it. So I applaud that y'all are keeping it going because some people said podcasting's hard. Yeah, it is hard.
It is hard.
It's very hard to come up with original content. You know, we're on season 4. I get it.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing is for us, right? Like as long as we're staying true to our why, we're staying true to, you know, really trying to help people understand, you know, why we're here for kids and how we're taking care of them. And then the other thing is too, is like, we just want to continue to be a trusted source of information for our families and our communities. And right now, today, the podcast data is telling us that this is helping us in that factor. We want to continue to be a trusted resource for them so that when they hear from the district, they know they're going to be getting important information about what it is that we're doing to take care of their kids. That's not a bad thing.
No. And you're meeting them where they're at. Not all your parents listen to podcasts, but a good portion of them do, based on statistics. Mm-hmm. There's 25 to 40% of everybody in each community is a regular podcast listener, which means they listen to one or two podcasts a week. So you need to provide something for them. And from that podcast, you can make your written article like we talked about earlier. And now you're reaching out and putting that in a newsletter or things like it's important to provide information and provide content where your parents are. And there's a ton of people in podcasting right now.
Absolutely. And one last little nugget I'll throw out there is, you know, don't be afraid to, I mean, this is going to be the B2B marketer side of me where I'm like A/B testing, right? But like, don't be afraid to try out new things too, to see what may hit and what may not work as well. You know, one thing I'm excited to see that we tried out this year, obviously, because we could for the first time, is our annual report hits mailboxes in like the next week. If everybody in our community, we've got it online, but we always do alumni features in our annual report. So this year, what we did was I went and backlogged interviews with our alumni that we wanted to feature on the podcast, released them as individual episodes, and then we've given them little small shout outs in the annual report with QR codes. It'll take you directly to the episode. So instead of having a long form article in there, it's going to take you to their podcast episode. I'm excited to see what that looks like. That may be the best idea we've ever had. It might be the worst idea we've ever had. And people will be like, bring back the written article. I don't know. But it was a really cool opportunity for us to get creative and to try something with this new modality that we've got and seeing if this is a cool thing that we could do going forward or what can we learn and maybe adjust differently.
I don't know if you saw that. I started writing while you were talking because I'm stealing that idea.
I'll send you the online link and you can see how we mapped it out. We're pretty proud of it. We think it turned out pretty good. The episodes were great conversations and everything, but the data will tell us, right? When this goes out to everyone's mailbox in our community, we'll know if people enjoyed that piece or if it just wasn't the best idea for what they wanted.
Well, awesome. Well, we always end the show with the same question, or I do, for every guest. We're obviously in this for kids because we were once kids, right? Yep. And at one point in time, an administrator or a teacher had an impact on our life that carried us to where we're at now. So I would like to ask you, as I ask everybody, talk to me about a teacher, administrator, coach, something like that, that had an impact on your life that's helped lead you to where you are today.
Oh man. So, I'll have to go back to, I think I'm gonna have to go back to seventh grade English, and I had Mrs. W. And at that time in my life, I was pretty loud, pretty opinionated, and I had a hard time with reading comprehension. And in early elementary school, I had a pretty bad lisp and struggled with that as well, too. So like reading wasn't my gig and feeling confident in the classroom wasn't necessarily my gig. But I thought writing was kind of fun and I always liked stories, but I never really like shared any of that before. And Mrs. W in my seventh grade English class was the very first person to read some of my stuff. And she looked me in the eye and said, "This is good. You need to be doing this more." And she even challenged me to share some of my work in class, even though that would be, at the time would be really anxiety inducing, but was like, "Your voice matters. You're good at this. I want people to hear this, but you also need to be comfortable, you know, sharing your own story and not letting someone do it for you." So that changed my trajectory. Like from then on, confidence was completely different. I found my voice. School felt doable for me. I ended up majoring in communications in college. I'm doing this school PR gig. That I think was probably a seminal moment for me, was Mrs. W just looking at me, seeing who I was and saying, "Your voice has value. You're good at this. Let's cultivate it."
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And you know, when people listen to this episode or to this podcast episodes, whatever, we frequently get messages about, "Hey, how do I get a hold of that person?" So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you, how do people get a hold of you so that we can just eliminate the middleman there and they can just reach out to you if they have podcasting questions or they just want to, you know, use your voice in something. Just a great voice.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm pretty active on Twitter. That is @MitchRoush, MitchRoush. or send me an email. I'm at mrosh@gips.org. So you can hit me on email or hit me up on Twitter. I will be happy to connect and chat podcasting.
So will we see you at Inspire 2023?
You know it. Bring in my whole team. We're going to be there.
I will be there as well. We will meet up and I owe you a drink or something, or just some hangout time, whatever we want to do. And we'll connect there and hang out for a little bit. Mitch, I appreciate it. I know I reached out last week and we got it done. I hope you had a great weekend at the dance competition that you were at. And then we're prepping for a crawfish boil this weekend. So we were busy getting the house ready for that. So thanks for jumping on. Thanks for talking about podcasting. Thanks for doing podcasting because I want to keep it alive. Obviously, I love it and it's something I look forward to. And I just appreciate you doing what you're doing and being the person you are in your district.
Right back at you, Justin. You're one of the good ones. Cheers, my friend.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I want to thank Mitch for coming on today and talking about podcasting, sharing his expertise, and dropping those little marketing nuggets all throughout this show. Write them down, take them, use them in your district. If you're listening and you have an idea for a show, we're still planning out the back half of School PR Happy Hour Season 4, so hit us up on Twitter at SPR Happy Hour. We'd love to hear what topics are relevant and hot in your world that we can talk about on the show with some of the best in school PR. As always, we appreciate you listening and joining us on this journey. And as Aaron always says, let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.